I'm going to look at today about one of the greatest stories of faith in the Bible. I'm reading from Matthew's chapter 8. We also get it in Luke chapter 7, but Matthew chapter 8, breaking in at verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. They will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And the servant was healed that same hour. A tremendous story about this faithful centurion. We can understand about a man like this. He was normally the Romans would be hard, cruel, as we think of the fourth beast in Daniel, the metal, iron, being hard, being cold, being ruthless. The Jews mainly didn't like the Romans. They were oppressed, of course. They were getting paid taxes, and they generally did not get on with each other. But there's an exception here to this man. And he has a servant who's not very well. Normally, a Roman centurion, any soldier would be trained to be self-sufficient. Being humble was not in their vocabulary. They would be ready to exalt themselves. They were proud. They were hard men. They were military men. And being a centurion would mean he would have a lot of successes. His leadership would be great. And he would be a great man in terms of in being in military action. But we see about this man that he's different. And the Jews have a lot of nice things to say about him. They say that he loves our nation. And he built us a synagogue. And he's worthy for you to come and heal his servant. Of course, the Lord would never heal the servant on the basis of somebody's testimony, and that's not how God works. I remember when I became a Christian a good few years ago, one of my friends says, I'm not surprised, you're a good guy. Well, that's not the reason I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I recognised that I was unworthy, and I recognised that Jesus died for me on the cross. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why I'm saved. It's because of his grace and mercy towards me, who didn't deserve it. And the centurions, like every single one of us that are born in sin, we don't deserve his love and his mercy. But God could see in this man that he was a genuine, faithful man, and he wasn't even a man who saw himself worthy to come under his roof. And that's a great thing to say, especially from a Roman centurion. And we can see how his faith was so simple. So here's a man who, in the mighty Roman Empire, he's coming, he's got compassion for his servant. And most of them, I'm sure, if they had a servant and he was ready to die, then most of them would just have let him die and got another slave, and that's how it would normally work. But he's got compassion for his servant, And of course, he's got access, being a Roman centurion, to all the privileges of the Roman Empire, the doctors, medicine, and all the rest of it. But he knows who to go to. And that's the important question, that we know who to go to for help, for need, for salvation. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went to him, and he got the servants went, and they came. But it's an important thing too that when we think of the servant's condition, he was seriously ill. It says in the gospel that he was ready to die. And of course, if you look at Genesis 5, there's a big record, you know, Methuselah and all the rest of them, and it concludes with that he died. And it's not a subject that we like to talk about, is death. And I suppose if you're young, you don't think about it, and you think it's for old folk to think about death. But even old people don't think about death much either. In fact, they don't think about eternity. And that's important. You know, do we think about eternity? Do we realise that you might be gone next week or the following week? Never mind just natural dying, but think of the accidents that we have in the roads every day. Think of the murders that we hear about, the wee girl at 9 being murdered. Think of the woman who killed the baby with a hairdryer. We hear of all these terrible accidents and murders. So life can be very, very short. Meaning, according to eternity, it's just a blink, isn't it? It's just a vapour. Here today, gone tomorrow. So it's important that we think about eternity. And not many people think about that. They live for today and they forget that we might soon not be here. And then where are we? And so this man has a servant who's ready to die, seriously ill. It's not pleasant, but it's true. And we also see that it speaks about the fact that we're ready to die because we're sinners. And it says in the Bible, another chapter 5 in Romans, that by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death has passed upon all men, all people, for that all have sinned. So there's a problem with us. We failed God. We are separated from God because of our sin. And that's true for every single one of us. And I hope you understand this x-ray vision that God shows us, even though you might be a very nice person, as my friend had said to me, and a goodly kind of person. But when God exposes the darkness that's within you, you realise how sinful you really are. And I'm sure those who are more senior here, we realise as we go on in our Christian life how dark sin really is. And God hates sin. He loves the sinner, but he hates sin. And the Bible would tell us that man is condemned already. And if you don't have the Son, you have the wrath of God abiding over you. Now, these are serious gospel messages for us. So that's why we need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to trust him. We need to believe in his word, as we sang in the first hymn today. Believe in his word. Take his word as final authority. And God speaks to us today fully and finally in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Do you know him as your Lord and Saviour? So we see that this ready to die has many consequences in our life. He was sick, and the Lord talks about evil. When he looked down on the people in Genesis 6, he saw that their life is only evil continually. You know, it talks about the wicked people in the Bible. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So there's all sorts of forms of sin that we have, and it comes from inside. It's not so much of what we do that's wrong, but we are wrong. We are constituted wrong. We have failed, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark, every single one of us. Yeah, you might get, 49 out of 100, you failed if the pass marks 50. And if you get one, you failed, you know. And we've all failed. We've missed that perfect standard, who is Jesus Christ. That's the divine measurement. And sometimes we don't do that. We compare ourselves with other people. And the Jews were looking at this man. This man's the man you want to go and help, because he really helps us. He's different from everybody else. And he's interesting in the Jewish religion, and he done all this for us. He's the man that you should go and help. But you realise, and he realised himself, and this is good, he didn't go in the testimony of others. He realised that he was not worthy. It's like John the Baptist, who says he was not worthy to unloose the latch of the shoes of the Lord Jesus. I am not worthy. There's only one who's worthy. You know, only one. The disciple John, he wept because there was no one worthy to open the seal, break it. And the elder says to him, there is one, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's worthy to open it. And he read on about the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. A lamb that was freshly slain, a young lamb. He's the only one who is worthy, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a tremendous thing that he'd done to come to this great man, the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, I will come and heal him. He's willing to heal. He's willing to come into your heart and into your life. God is not willing that any should perish. He's long-suffering in that way. And he wants to come into your heart if you don't know him already. Maybe your faith is just not there yet. He was able to say in contrast to the centurion about the disciples that they had little faith, and some had no faith, and this man had great faith. And that is so very important for us, just to put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was humble. He came in that humble way, and he recognised the authority, and he recognised the assurance, because he says, my servant might be healed. No, he says, my servant will be healed. The assurance, the authority. I remember when I became a Christian long, long time ago, and over 40 years ago, and I was speaking to my friend Robert Sinclair, and there was and my other friend David Shankland. Now David had come over from the Vatican, and that's when I became a Christian. I was talking to him, and I'm not running down other religions. David was my best friend, and he went to the Johnson High like myself. We went to Johnson High, but his mother was Roman Catholic. She was Austrian and very devout. So the family, whilst they went to Corcoran Castle and the Johnson High, they all went, you know, faithfully to the chapel every Sunday. And I got saved, and I was so full of joy and excitement. And Robert was there, and David. And the thing that he says is, he says, I'm concerned about Ian, because I was a Francis Smith and Dorai who led me to the Lord, and a lot of folk in the Gospel Hall down in Ayrshire. I got friendly with, and the authority for me was the Word of God, and I wasn't in a church or anything like that. But I was looking at the Word of God, and I came to know the Lord Jesus through the Word, and I was so full of joy. And David says to me, I'm concerned about Ian. He says, what authority do you have? That's what he said to me. And I says, well, the authority for me is the authority of the Word of God. And, you know, his power on earth to forgive sins. He has that power, he has that authority. And if you read the Bible, John 20, I think it is, or Luke 20, you see that the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders questioned his authority. what authority do you have? You know, where do you, what have you got the authority to do these things? And the question has authority all the time. And you see, David, I feel sorry for David, and I still have communication with him, that he was looking at the authority of the church, the voice of the church. And it's not the voice of the church, it's the authority of the Word of God. And that's fantastic, because Jesus is the one who tells us, if you believe on him that sent me, you have eternal life. The promises of God, the Word of God, we are born again by the Word of God. And that's so vitally important for every single one of us. That's why we need to study it and read it and meditate upon it and allow it to feed us as Christians, so that we become more like the Lord Jesus, our sanctification. You're not just saved and you leave it like that. You have to grow in the Lord and know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and know Jesus is the only person who can live your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the mistakes that we all made, we try to do it ourselves and in our own strength. And that's the mistake we continually make so many times, because that's our default, isn't it? The flesh, you know, we go back to that sometimes. So here we see this lovely man, the assurance and the authority of the Word of God. And the great testimony is that Jesus marveled at this man's faith, and he made a contrast about the Jews, who had all the thousands of years of teaching under God, the protection, the promises, and yet at the end of the day they turned their back. It says in the Bible that he came unto his own and his own received him not. But then it goes on, but as many as received him, to them gave he the authority, the power to become sons of God, the authority of the Word of God. And the servant was healed from a distance. We don't need the Lord right beside us. He's in heaven. You only have to come to him in faith and pray and believe him and recognize that we are unworthy, that we are what God says we are, and believe that and take it as what God is saying. He's saying it to us to help us to understand that we cannot meet his requirements. By the works of the law shall no man be justified. It's impossible for us to reach heaven by works. The just shall live by faith. And it's a tremendous lesson for us in how simple it is, saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. What faith. What tremendous faith. And that's what God wants you individually to have, is to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. And we who are Christians, that's all we need to do, is to live in accordance with the Word of God and allow him to speak to us in our mind, in our heart, and in our walk. So I trust these wee simple lessons might be an encouragement to us as we see how this man, a Roman soldier, in contrast to the religious people, you see, sometimes we can come to the Lord or go to services and we bring a lot of religious baggage. I have an aunt who and I keep getting back to this. I mean, I'm not against Roman Catholics, but the doctrine can be so, you know, so wrong. And my grandmother was Roman Catholic, and my I've got a twin sister, and she married a Roman Catholic, and I have friends who are Roman Catholic, and I'm just saying all that. But my auntie who's been coming to the church and hearing services and the gospel, you know, powerful gospel messages, but she still prays to Mary, and she's just not there yet. You see, you can come with a lot of baggage, and that can be harmful to us. But this centurion, he didn't come with any baggage. You know, the Jews had all the law and all the rest of it, and their vain traditions. Nothing wrong with tradition, but there was their vain traditions, and that can be a problem. There might be someone here who has that issue, but just simply trust in the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for these encouraging lessons for us, and to see that man, you know, coming in humility, very unusual for a Roman centurion. But we know, Lord, that he understood what authority meant. And Lord, we just thank you for this, and we do pray today for every single one here, any visitors and even the members, that we may just simply, as we live our Christian life, put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.